Shit We've Read is a proud member of Bi-Lo Network, a network of geeky podcasts.
Please visit shitwevered.com to support the show.
Now, let's talk about some books.
Hello, and welcome back to Shit We've Read, a sci-fi fantasy book podcast hosted by geeky friends. I am your host, Laura Benson, and I'm excited to say that this is our first episode of 2025.
Woo woo.
And
we are
starting our discussion with the book Out of the Drowning Deep, written by A.C. Wise. Joining me are my two amazing co-hosts. From the top of my screen, I have Jason Rico. Hello.
Hello, hello, happy new year. It still counts, right? Like, it's the first time we're recording. I know we're 2 weeks into the year, but it still counts.
It's still the beginning of the new year.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And you heard my other co-host, Bella Romero. Hello, welcome.
Hello. Yeah, Rico stole my joke, so I guess, or what I was going to say, happy new year, whatever. So what's new year, same Rico.
Very true.
Well, as always, before we jump into our book discussion, we always like to ask what is the other shit that we have been reading. I'm going to call on Bella.
Excellent. I'm ready. So number one, I've been reading, I mean, I think I maybe mentioned this in one of our recordings. Everything from last year is now a blur. I swear it's like January hit and I just can't remember anything I did like towards the end of the year. With Wicked coming out, I've read Wicked before. I read it when I was a kid, which it is not a kid's book, y'all. No, it is not. There are adult themes in all the books. But I was given to it by an adult who was like, this is a great book. You should read it. It's what the musical is based on. None of that is true. So I've read Wicked like twice in my life. And so this was the third time reading it, trying to like have it fresh in my mind for the movie that came out. And then I always said I wanted to read the rest of the books. And I feel like, number one, finally, I reread Wicked and like have hacked the Libby system. I have four library cards. So I've gotten all the books like in succession. So I finished Son of a Witch, which came out 10 years after Wicked. So it came out in 2005. And then just started, like, I kid you not, last night. So I'm 30 minutes into this, like, I think it's like a 36-hour audiobook. I can't remember. A Lion Among Men, which was released in 2008. And there's one more book called Out of Oz. And it was released in 2011, all by Gregory Maguire. They're all retconning of Frank Elbaum's Wizard of Oz. But take inspiration, obviously, from the world created in the books and in the movie. Really fun series, kind of crazy, doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a vibe. If you've watched the movie, it's nothing like that. But it's still fun. Elphaba is not in the rest of the books. So they all are told by a different character's point of view, but all tied to Elphaba. Like, she is definitely like the reason that all of this is happening. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, so that's a long series. So I will be reading that for a little bit, probably by the next time we record. Hopefully I'll have finished it, but that's what's on my plate. I also finally started Project Hail Mary.
Yay!
I know. Sander being my spouse, expressed some interest in reading more. And he's a big sci-fi guy, definitely. I mean, he likes fantasy too, but like was really interested in sci-fi. And I was like, you know what? Everyone keeps saying Project Hail Mary would be fun. I think like Sander loved The Martian. Like, let's read it together. So we started it on a road trip day.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah, we're adorable. So we started on a road trip. We started it on a road trip. Rude. We've been together like almost 12 years at this point. Okay, so.
And he just learned how to read.
I know, it's crazy. We went to the same high school, y'all. Public school, am I right? So we started on this road trip and immediately like both of us are hooked. It's been harder to listen to because we don't drive together very often. So trying to get him to be a nighttime audiobook listener, but he really likes to hear like every single word, whereas I'm okay starting to drift off and missing some of it and just rewinding the next time. So we're learning how to read together, which is really interesting. But he definitely likes it more than me. Sorry, Laura. It's a lot of science It's a lot of science. The mystery is super interesting. It's just a little heavy on the science. He loves it, though. He's like, oh, yep, that's physics. And I'm like, okay, cool. I didn't care. I just want to know what the fuck is going on. And it's like 5 hours into this book, and we're still learning our name. Cool.
I can see him loving that book because of how technical it is.
He fucking loves how technical it is. Yeah. Like, he's a every step of the way, he's like, he's also conducting experiments.
When I read and also listened to the audiobook for this for it, I didn't always understand the science of it, but the way that it was written made me feel like I kind of understood what was happening. Yeah. And that made it more enjoyable for me. And I felt like it was far easier to understand compared to The Martian. I felt like The Martian was more heavy on the science.
Never reading that book. Yes, I understand science for the most, like real science, not fake science. And this book is very much like real science with a fake application of it. So like I generally am like, okay, I get what's happening here. And that's been fun to talk with Sander about, like, and realizing I do know more about science than I lead on. However, I don't want to do this much science for fun. Reading is my escape. So I was like, oh my God, this is mostly science experiment talk. Cool. Which is very interesting. It is very fun. However, this will be my last foray into a book like this. But it is fun, and I appreciate that it's brought me and Sander closer with a book, like a book that we both enjoy listening to. Like,
That's nice. Yeah. Don't quote me on this because it's been a while since I've read it. But what I might remember is it gets less dependent on the science, like the last half of the book.
That's when the story
really kind of like develops, and that's when you get hooked. So.
Yeah, that's my theory too. So that's what I'm like holding out for. But and I do still want to listen to it. Like, I'm like, let's get through it. Like, I want to hear what the payoff is. Similar with The Martian, where I was like, yeah, there's a lot of science, but like, what's happening? The movie, not the book. Apparently, I'd hate the book, so never reading that.
You probably would.
Honestly, I think I don't think you would like the book.
Yeah, I'm already like, there's a lot of science. Also, can't imagine Ryan Gosling playing the main character.
Okay, thank you, because I think we've talked about it. Laura's on board, Emma's on board. I'm like, that's not who I would have picked. I'm sure he'll do a great job. Gosling is great, but like, that's not who I imagine. That's not who I would have picked. I'm waiting to be surprised and delighted, but as of right now, I'm like, I don't know. We'll see.
I see why they picked him. I think they're obviously he's hot. And there's definitely a lot of like physical descriptors of the character at one point that's like, okay, now I understand why they picked Ryan Gosling, because he's supposed to be like fit. But the way that this character described is not hot, and Ryan Gosling is hot. And so I just can't picture like a hot person of that caliber who I know from like rom-coms and like action movies now being a physicist is crazy. Like, it's just so off brand for him that I can't picture it. But he also is like this kind of like silly, goofy, nerdy guy, and the main character is too, a little bit like a sarcastic, like, I don't know. So like teacher, it's, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't see it, though.
Well, I hope that you are both pleasantly surprised when this movie comes out.
I'm sure I will be. He's great. I mean, I can't say anything against Ken. Like, it's my boy, so, you know.
Oh, my God. Your soul brother.
We both got that Kenergy, you know, so.
Thank you. So, his latest most noteworthy role is Ken. Now this man is supposed to be a scientist and a school teacher? Like, my brain is short-circuiting just trying to picture it. But you know what? I would like to be surprised, so.
Okay, we should move on. Jason, what have you been reading? Feel free to cut this in post, Rico.
Okay. Okay, so I am in my pirate era, apparently. Anybody
is
who's
it
listened
in your pirate area, or is it that you just scheduled it?
They are one and the same.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
You planned a pirate era.
I planned a pirate era. These aren't, I don't have spontaneous eras. They are pre-planned out eras.
Okay.
But yes, like you mentioned, I planned it, schedule it. Anybody who's listened knows I have my spreadsheet built up for the year, and I like to group books together based on like a topic or a theme or something. So right now, it is a bunch of books about pirates and adventures on the high seas. I just finished a book called Captain Blood by Rafael Sabatini, who was an Italian English author. This book was first released in 1922, and it is a tale of a man wrongly punished for treason, and he escapes from slavery in the West Indies to become a pirate. Mm-hmm. Super fun, super swashbuckling. Like, if you like Pirates of the Caribbean, this is exactly the kind of book that you want to read. I think it was released as a series of like individual stories that you kind of put together into one overall story. So it just kind of follows his life through slavery and escaping and becoming a pirate and becoming, trying to go, you know, legit and becoming a pirate again and love and loss and all this kind of stuff. It was just super fun. So yes, that's the first book of my pirate era. I have some more to come, but we'll talk about that later.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you, Laura? What have you been reading?
My most recent read is The Second Rebel by Lyndon A. Lewis. If anybody tuned in for our Secret Santa special episode, I got The First Sister. And so I liked it enough to read the second book. I will be totally honest, and Jason and Bella know this already. I did not do the First Sister justice in our Secret Santa recording. I fully admit that I finished it too early and did not have enough notes. and I feel terrible. But it's a really good book. So the second book is The Second Rebel. I mistitled it the last episode. Jeez. And it's a literal, like, it's almost literally picks up maybe like a couple months after the first book. And we continue to follow the same characters, it was originally three different POVs, and now I think it's four. And it's kind of similar to the first book in that all of these characters have their own storylines going on and eventually kind of merge in a way. Again, lots of political stuff, lots of religious stuff. It's just a lot sometimes. The description always compares it to, it says it's perfect for fans of Red Rising, The Handmaid's Tale, and The Expanse. I honestly don't know very much about all three of those, but I know enough to know that it feels pretty accurate.
Okay.
So if any of those stand out, I recommend it.
I think you'd really like a TV show called Warrior Nun, if you've ever heard of it. It's on Netflix.
I have heard of it. I haven't watched it, though.
It's a little bit queer. It was hyped up to be much more queer than it actually was, but it's very good. It's very, like, YA, because all the characters are not super young, but, like, late
younger
teens, early 20s. Like, and there's definitely a coming-of-age element to it, but I think you'd really like it.
Okay. If you like, I'll look into it.
If you like this book,
yeah,
you'll enjoy it. Politics and religion and fantasy and science are all part of it. So all of
and
the things.
That's not an easy thing to mix all the time.
No, no.
Oh, and actually you also reminded me this series, it's called The First Sister Trilogy, is also very queer. Mm-hmm. One of the main characters is non-binary. One of them, I believe, if I remember correctly, I think he's gay. The first sister herself, I don't think they ever really specify, but she is attracted to both men and women in certain situations. I don't know if that's actually her preference or if it's because of the position that she was in, because there's some sexual stuff that is also part of the religion, unfortunately. I won't get into detail.
Yeah, way to keep it very vague.
But either way, I am liking the series overall. I was kind of falling off with the second book, but the cliffhanger just really got me, and I was like, damn it, I guess I'm gonna read the third book.
Damn, they got you.
Like, I was fully prepared to be like, it was okay, but I think I'm done. And then literally, the last two chapters, I was like, ah, okay. Yeah. All right, I'm going to keep reading this.
You're invested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's again, it's just, it's all of the different genres, and it, each one of them, it's got something interesting going on, so. But yeah. So I am still going to continue that series. Spoiler, thank you to Emma Skies for getting me into this series.
Now, remind me, what did Emma intend to give you this book, or did you get it on accident? A little nod to the episode if you haven't listened to it.
Yeah, right. All right, you guys want to jump into the featured book?
Yes.
Ready.
Okay, so we read Out of the Drowning Deep by A.C. Wise. It is a sci-fi fantasy novella published September 2024 by Titan Books. Just a really quick content warning. Religious trauma, addiction, death, murder, suicide, and grief. I will be transparent. I could not find official content warnings. I found some of these from some reviews. So there may, I don't know, be some other ones.
Abusive relationships.
Yes. Yes. So if any of those are triggers for you, take care of yourself. Let's get into the synopsis. I am going to pick on Jason.
Okay. All right, here's the synopsis off of Goodreads. In the distant future, when mortals mingle with the gods in deep space, an out-of-date automaton, a recovering addict, and an angel race to solve the Pope's murder in an abandoned corner of the galaxy. Scribe 4 is an obsolete automaton, peacefully whiling away his years on the Bastion, a secluded monastery in an abandoned corner of the galaxy. But when the visiting Pope is found murdered, Scribe 4 knows he has very little time before the terrifying Sisters of the Drowned Deep rise up to punish the Bastion's residents for their crime. Quinn, a recovering drug addict turned private investigator, picks up a scrambled signal from the Bastion and agrees to take the case. Traumatized by a bizarre experience in his childhood, Quinn repeatedly feeds his memories to his lover, the Angel Murmuration. But fragmented glimpses of an otherworldly horror he calls the Crawling Dark continue to haunt his dreams. Meanwhile, in heaven, an angel named Angel hears Scribe 4's prayers. Intrigued by the idea of solving a crime with mortals, Z descends to offer their divine assistance, whether those mortals want it or not. With the Drowned Sisters closing in around the Bastion, Scribe 4, Quinn, and Angel race to find out who really murdered the Pope and why. Quinn's missing memories may hold the key to the case, but is remembering worth the price?
Thank you.
I'll clean it up in post.
Why do you think I went? Yes!
All right. Thank you, Jason, for reading that for us. Before we get into spoilers, let's do non-spoiler review first impressions. What did we think of it?
I did end up really enjoying this book, but not as much as I thought I was going to based on the first like five chapters. When this novella first started, I was like, oh, I am loving this. Like, this has a sprinkling of everything. It has sci-fi, it has fantasy, it has, you know, religion, it has mystery. There's just so much to sink your teeth into. And literally chapter six, like, I stopped after chapter five for the night. It's like, all right, I'll continue tomorrow morning. And the next day, it was like, oh, it's losing me a little bit. Not enough to not enjoy the book. I definitely would love to read more in this world. I hope there's more to come in this world. If it's a one and done, that's great too. But yeah, I really enjoyed this book. I think it's interesting. It's quite unlike other things that I have read in that it's a little bit of everything all put together into a weird little salad that is satisfying.
Okay.
Interesting, because I did not enjoy this book.
Really?
I also expected to like it more than I did. I love anything that sort of brings in like religion, especially like all religions exist at the same time. It is a novella, so it felt very narrow in its scope, mostly focusing on like the broadness of the monastery, or the, I should say like the breadth of like the vastness of the world. So it kept everything pretty vague. I don't feel like things were like very clearly defined in that, like it was like every religion exists. And I'm like, okay, but like, is it just the religions we know? Are there other religions out there? Like, I don't know. I just wanted a little bit more world building. Personally, I was really interested in that aspect of it. But I don't know, like the mystery didn't really pay off for me. The characters were kind of annoying. Yeah, I expected a very different book than what we got.
Okay. Laura? I guess I lean a little bit more towards what Bella thought. I did initially think this is really cool. Even just reading the synopsis, I was like, okay, we're getting an actual science fiction with gods. Like, this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. The first few chapters did really hook me. I was very interested. And then it just kind of lost me. It felt like too many POVs for a novella. Mm-hmm. Too many things going on that may not necessarily have been needed. And it felt like the mystery of it wasn't really important. Mm-hmm. And it at one point just kind of like didn't focus on it at all. And it was just about the characters, mm-hmm. which in some situations I think is fine. But for a novella, it just felt like it was way too much stuff happening and not really getting enough of a payoff for any of them. I did like certain things about it, but they were very small details. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I might have mentioned it a few times in the past. I have a little bit of my own religious trauma that's nowhere near as bad as the stuff that a couple of our characters in this book have gone through. But there were certain times that I did feel a little triggered. And I considered not finishing it. And I was like, I was really debating, but I decided it was a novella. It wasn't focused on this trauma that they have. It's there. It's part of who they are, their experience. Mm-hmm. And I was able to move past it and keep reading. But looking back at it, I was like, I don't know that I would really necessarily want to read something with some of these details in it.
Yeah,
that fair. Said, it was a quick read, though.
Very I quick. Felt like it dragged on.
What?
Oh, no.
I had a really hard time reading this book.
Interesting.
The like middle section was so long, like between like 30% and 50%. I was really struggling. Maybe even like 20% and 50%. Like I was really struggling.
Okay, well maybe we should get into spoilers then, so we can talk about the details.
I think we should.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. If anybody does not want to get spoilers yet, they want to read it first, pause now, come back, and then get all the details. All right, I really want to hear more, Bella.
So I agree. It started off really strong with the premise of what did this kid see? How did the Pope die? That's like the central mystery of it all. I loved the automaton inclusion. I thought that was really cool. Just learning more about Scribe 4 and the automaton technology and like their sort of otherness in this world. Super interesting. I think that was my favorite character was Scribe 4.
Yeah.
Felt the most thought out. Their role was clear. Mm-hmm. The boundary of the role was clear, if that makes sense. Like, I never really questioned, like, what their purpose was, what their, their reactions made sense to what was happening, their involvement in the plot made sense. loved sort of some of their features as an automaton that made them different from humans, that brought like an extra layer to what was happening throughout the story, especially with the mystery and like all the trauma that's brought up. Like they're not a human, but they've been with humans for so long. They've learned things. It was really cool. That side of science fiction, like I really appreciate, where it's like, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. That's where it goes into like that fantasy realm. And I enjoy that. I did not like the Angel character, whose name is Angel. Quite annoying, in my opinion. Did not understand like the point of that character other than to be a tool for them to use for like a...
To move around?
To move around. Like literally, I felt like it was like, okay, when I need to move the story and I'm trying to keep this as a novella, Angel is conveniently there. And I think also to serve as like a trigger for... our main character's trauma with their partner, Murmuration, who is also an angel. So like didn't really give me anything, especially like in the mystery part later, the payoff later. Didn't really understand what they did. Like I know what it is. I would have liked a little bit more explanation of like the boundary of their role. It just was like, I sense the godly power is like this imminent power. And I understand why people can abuse it. And I was like, what can it do? What can that godly? Anything? That seems too convenient. What are the rules? None? Got it. Like it felt like a loose end that I understand it's a novella. We're not going to get into it. It wasn't like a huge plot point, but I think there were just a lot of things that were like, so why can't they save them? Why can't they do things or Zer, why can't Zer do? Yeah, I also neo pronouns are. I don't have as much experience with them, so it was. It's, yeah, sorry if I'm butchering things, y'all. Calling myself out on that, but yeah, it was. I think they had a potential to be a very interesting character, and I think they were underutilized, but also utilized incorrectly in the plot. I really wanted to know more about Quinn's trauma and like this mystery of the crawling dark, and that to me was like the main mystery, and I still don't really know what was going on. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, so that was one of my questions when it came to the mystery that they're trying to solve. So the Pope is murdered, right? And this kid just says basically he saw the crawling dark or crawling shadow or whatever he called it. And that triggered some kind of flash of memory in Quinn. So then Quinn tries to investigate what this memory is by going to Murmuration, who eats his basically traumatic memories, right?
Yeah.
But we still don't really understand what exactly he was remembering by the end of the book, unless I missed it somewhere. Does Quinn ever figure out what this crawling... whatever is in his memory?
I think he figures out it is a god. That the crawling dark is a god.
But it wasn't that.
I don't think it's ever
in the Pope's death.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever explicitly stated.
It's not explicitly said, but that was my, like, based on what was kind of going on in that context, was my best guess.
I thought it was going to be Murmuration, but it wasn't.
I don't think we're meant to know what that crawling dark that Quinn sees is. I think that's part of it. I mean, there is obviously an element of Quinn feeding his memories to Murmuration. So anything from Quinn's POV is very much a
unreliable.
Thank you. An unreliable narrator. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what we're being told is only what Quinn knows, and even then it's incomplete because he's already given up some of those memories. Mm-hmm. I do think that if this is continued on into a larger series, or that I think it can be, I think it was definitely kind of, it didn't end on a cliffhanger by any means, but I think it was set up to continue if he wanted it to. I think that would be explored more, what exactly this crawling dark is, because like you said, Laura, the crawling dark from Quinn's history is not the same crawling dark from the current mystery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a coincidence.
Yeah, which feels pointless in a novella if it's not going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm way more forgiving of things in novellas because they're so short. I treat novellas, for better or worse, I treat them like samplers. That these are like kind of under, like not fully thought out ideas. Like mm-hmm. like it's an experimental playground. You can kind of throw stuff in there. The worlds don't have to be fully built out. The characters don't have to be fully fleshed out. They can kind of be archetypes, kind of be stereotypes. Plots can be very surface level because you don't have a lot of room to do all this. And we've read a couple novellas on the show. One of the ones that we read in the past, The Mimicking of Known Successes, is another mystery-based one where the mystery yeah. was very unsatisfying because you don't really have the room to develop it out. And the same thing was this. Like the lead mystery of this, the hook was the Pope is dead. And we barely touch upon that in the book. It's all very easy. It's all, this thought made me think of this, and this person found this information, and the end. There's no red herrings. There's no mislead, Mr. X. It's just like, here you go. Here's the mystery. The end. And I'm okay with that in novellas. I don't mind any of that. Which is why I think I'm fine with enjoying it for what it is, because there's some cool ideas here that aren't thought out. I would love to see this world. All these religions exist at once. What the fuck does that look like? What are the actual implications of that? Mm-hmm. But we're not going to find that out here, and that's fine, and I know that.
Yeah. See, I could have forgiven that, but I think there were these other questions that I was like, and now I'm mad I don't even get to hear about these religions. Like, that was sort of, for me, like... the salt in the wound of, like, so we hear about, like, the sisters of whatever and the Pope, which I'm assuming is Catholic, if we're going off our...
I assumed, yeah.
That's the other thing. I was like, can we explain the Pope of what? Like, not everybody knows. Like, we all know who the Pope is for the most part, but, like, some people don't understand, like, these religious structures. Like, I am a former Catholic, so, like, I know that. So going into it, I was like, cool, this is for me. But, like, what if somebody doesn't know? Gotta explain it, even if it's a novella. That's just me.
Yeah. To answer your earlier question, Bello, I don't even know if it was a question, it's a statement. Like, you wanted to know, are all these religions based on, like, are they actual religions? Because, like, we have the Pope, who we assume is to be the Catholic Pope. The Roman Catholic Pope.
Uh-huh.
But then we have the Sisters of the Drowned Sisters. But as far as I know, I mean, I'm not an expert in worldly religions. That's not really a religion that we have on Earth. That kind of seemed very much like a Lovecraftian kind of like Cthulhu kind of thing.
Which I was going to say, it reminded me of something. A Study in Drowning. It kind of reminded me of the Fae and how drowning and changelings and things like that, which I guess would be like Celtic myth. So that's where I went with it. So it was still familiar enough.
And keep in mind, this is not on Earth, from my understanding, because it says in the synopsis, the Bastion, a secluded monastery in an abandoned corner of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it can be religion at this point.
But that's kind of why I was like, please explain that these religions are like from anywhere. And so then why the Pope? So, I mean, that's just, I can't assume it was Catholic if we're talking about like the galaxy and the world, you know? So just little details like that are like, you're assuming that we all know what that is, and then you're assuming that you've explained it, which you haven't really. That doesn't explain enough. And I don't think it needed to be, like, crazy. Just a little more.
Yeah, when you use certain terms like Pope in conjunction with terms like angel and heaven, like, it's definitely going to call to mind very specific ideas based on our own human experience of here on Earth. So if it's not on Earth, which to your point, this isn't on Earth. I don't think this is Earth-based necessarily. But the language that is used refers to things that we are familiar with. So, yeah, I connected all those dots. And if the author didn't want that to be the case, they should have used different language, invented different language, gave things slightly different definitions, defined characteristics, like the angel angels, like, there was definitely imagery of lots of eyes and mm-hmm. thousands of feathers, mm-hmm. which goes back mm-hmm. to biblical depictions of angels. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, of course, it's biblical then. It's the same thing in my mind. Mm-hmm. But then there are the rules of, like, well, what can they do and what can't they do? They can do stuff when they're preyed mm-hmm. upon. I'm not preyed upon, but, like, they're preyed to.
Yeah. Preyed upon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so there's a lot of things that aren't answered, which mm-hmm. can be frustrating. But I kind of took it more as, like, well, I would love to read more about this. If give me another book. I'm looking forward to it. The answers aren't here, and it is what it is, but I'll just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, I think I would probably have, I don't know necessarily enjoyed it more, but I would have felt like it was better as more of a full book.
Because I agree.
There are some ideas and concepts in this that just don't work in a novella, because you're still trying to have this world building for us to understand how it works in this universe, but we just don't fully get enough information to really understand it. And
I disagree. I don't think we need more of it, but continue. Sorry. Finish your thought.
Well, so it feels like the main purpose of this book is the characters.
Yeah.
Because a majority of it focuses on them. Mm-hmm. Not what they're trying to do necessarily. And so if this was written as a full novel that has more character development and more world building, then certain aspects of these characters and their journey in this story would make more sense. Maybe Angel would have had more of a purpose. Maybe we would have a better understanding of like when he froze, when Z froze up in the towards the end, when Scribe 4 was like, can you do something? And Angel just stood there, scared. It didn't really make sense to me. If it were a novel where where Zare,
yeah,
character was more built out and we had a better understanding of angels in general, maybe it would have made more sense. The choices that were made.
I think there was enough there to kind of touch upon our questions. They weren't fully answered, but they were at least addressed. Like why Angel couldn't intervene.
Yeah, like I understood that Angel was bound by some universal otherworldly rules, and that like breaking them would cause them to, I kind of likened it to like Voldemort and murder and the Horcruxes was like, if Angel broke rules, like some part of their essence would fracture. And like, maybe that's how Murmuration ended up being the way that they were, was like breaking rules for people.
Oh, I think it's
over and over again. That was just my interpretation.
I took it more literal based on what was in the text, in that if they did these things, Zay would have fallen. That's all the angels like they talked about the act of falling. And so if you liken it to like Lucifer, like if you act out against what you're allowed to do for whatever reason, your programming, you're allowed to, you can physically do that. You have that choice, but there are consequences to it. And I think that's what Angel was scared of in that moment.
Yeah, we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what it is, but that's what I'm saying. Like I likened it to like the murder, like how it fractures your soul and like you become something else, like a shell of a human. Like they would have become a different type of angel, a fallen angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
is the word fallen angel, it's used. But yeah, but like, That's what we're saying the same thing, and that like I know that it would have caused Angel harm, and there would be consequences. But like, describe that for me a little bit more. I didn't, because I think like to Laura's point, like I didn't have enough buy-in to be like they can't do anything. It would ruin them forever. I was kind of like, We're just talking about like you lose a little bit of power. Isn't it worth it to save this person that you're so obviously attached to and you like want to help? Like, wouldn't it be worth like losing a little bit of that power? But maybe it's more than that. But yeah, I just think there were a lot of questions around like motivation because I didn't know the rules.
Well, what I thought was funny is that the author after the fact kind of explained that Angel could have intervened if Zay wanted to, but Zay chose not to. But prior to that, the language in the book was that angels can only really do things if they are, if things are like prayed for.
Yeah.
Right. And so, so Angel could have just not intervened and said, no, sorry, I couldn't do anything. Like no one prayed. Yeah. And that would have been it. Like I would have accepted that based on the logic of the book. It wasn't until afterwards that Angel said, oh, I was scared. And that now opens up this whole can of worms. I'm like, whoa, wait, so you could have?
Yeah. Yeah. Things like that, that is a great specific example of when I was like, wait, now I feel like I need to read this again, but I don't want to. So I'm just going to keep going.
No, I still liked it. I thought it was fun. There's a lot of fun things to it.
I wanted more information. Like they made references, and maybe I just didn't understand it while reading it, of being able to make a god. But I felt like it didn't really explain what that meant or how that worked or why people would want to do that or anything like that. And it was frustrating because our first like real introduction to this idea is Quinn's past religious trauma from when he was a child. Basically watching his father trying to make a god but is essentially killing this man, right? We never really get an answer of what that is, like why, like I just don't understand why that is in there other than to give him trauma.
Why the idea of creating gods is in the book? Is that what you're asking?
I guess
for me that was part of the world building. That was a side effect of all these, I forgot what the book calls it, but there is this moment where basically all the deities like showed up together and be like, we're all here. Like everybody's represented. Anything that you believe in, we all are around. And so I think it was a side effect of like, well, if I believe in like the one true God, and there's only one God, but over here my friend has been believing in Nordic gods, like Norse gods his entire life, and we find out those are all real too, then like, what does godliness mean, or what's the meaning of that? And so I think it was kind of this side effect is like, well, all of these gods exist and religions are constantly spinning out of other religions and offshoots, and if enough people believe in a thing, it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what the book was trying to say, that if enough people, I'm holding up for people listening, I'm holding my bottle of water, if enough people believe in this bottle of water for whatever reason, if they think this is it, this is the Holy Grail, this is whatever the deity, if enough people believe it is, it becomes a thing because we gave it power. So I think that's what the book was trying to say and why it was in there. Like there's a side effect to all these religions existing.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered your question.
I mean, it answers why there's always religious zealots.
It answers why it's in there, but it doesn't really like it's something that just doesn't really give me an answer. Like what was, it's not the point of the book, obviously, but I'm like, what was his father actually doing that he thought this guy was gonna become a god? Mm-hmm. Like what is any of these people doing that makes these people into a god? There's the reference of Quinn is familiar with this location in Scribe 4 because he solved helped solve or whatever a case in the past, which was finding a missing boy who ended up becoming a god down in their tunnels. I don't have any information about like what happened there. Why did this kid, this missing child, suddenly become a god? You know, it's and that's just falling back into, I wish this was a longer book so that I could get more answers and more understanding of how this world works.
Yeah.
Jason, I feel like I feel like you're constantly, like your face is constantly like processing while we're recording this discussion.
Oh my God. It is. That's just my face always. At work, they always
just
say
taking the world in.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of resting bitch face, I have like resting like thinking wheel of face? Death face. Like, yeah, thinking face.
Wheel of death.
Like, just like, I'm just thinking constantly. Oh, I guess I'm trying to like, I hear what you are saying, and I do not think you are wrong by any means. I hear what you're saying, and it is totally valid that this could have been a longer book that dove into these questions and these ideas more and fleshed them out. And I think, yeah, that could have been great. That would have been absolutely fine. But I'm also kind of just taking it as what it is. For whatever reason, this is a novella. And I think sometimes, because I'm pretty sure we have all, whether we talked about it on the podcast or not, I can guarantee we have all individually at some point read a thing that was long and been like, this probably would have worked better if it was a short story or a novella. Like,
yeah.
And that's because like sometimes things can't quite be figured out. Sometimes you just have a really good idea or a fun idea. It's like, you know, I don't have all that, or I don't want to get into the weeds about that because then it gets too fucking sciencey for some people, or too religiously for other people. Or,
I don't think I told you once today.
No, I wasn't talking about you, just other people.
You
know, and so like, that's why I kind of enjoy novellas and short stories. Is like, it's just this little vignette in this world, and I don't need to answer anything else. Do I, as a reader, have lots of questions when I read them? For sure. But I accept that I'm not going to get the answers to them. It's just, I just enjoy it for what it is. And so when I'm thinking, when you're saying stuff and I'm thinking, I'm like, well, is that something that I can respond to, or do I just accept that that's just your takeaway? Because it's not wrong. It's not wrong. I'm not disagreeing with it. It's just like, you enjoy what you enjoy, you want what you want, and I enjoy what I enjoy, and I want what I want, and I think they both can exist at the same time.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all agree that like robot scribes are pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I wish the story had been like fully told from their point of view.
So
it's really good.
I agree.
We've kind of briefly mentioned pronouns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them I got a little confused. I couldn't remember who went by which pronoun. So Quinn was he, him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Angel was Z-Zer.
Z-Zer.
Zer.
Yeah.
Scribe 4 was he, wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I believe so, yeah. Which I had questions about. I was like, oh, so the scribe has gender.
The robot scribe chose a gender. Yeah.
I was very curious about that.
What was Murmuration's pronouns?
I believe he, him.
I believe.
He, him? Okay. And then we had Lena, Quinn's sister.
She, her.
And then I cannot for the life of me remember the other character, Quinn's.
Oh, something with an R.
Rowan?
Rowan, yes.
Rowan.
Yes.
He, him, right?
I believe so.
I believe so, yeah.
But like, queen. Right?
I read their description, especially when they were performing, as like a DJ drag queen.
Yeah.
Like okay, Mattel. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I read that. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. In terms of Angel's neo-pronouns, like, I mean, I'll own up to this. I do struggle reading them. Like, I get them. And I support them, and I will fight for anybody to use whatever pronouns they want. But it doesn't mean that my now almost 40-year-old brain can easily process them. So like that's probably the biggest challenge in this book for me of like reading it through is like I kept having to like stop and like Z.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Zer. Mm-hmm. Zem.
I kept having to like go through each one and make sure that I'm saying it correctly. Yeah.
And then my inner boomer would come out. I'm like, why can't you just use they, them? Like, and you know, and people have their choices and that's fine. I'm not saying you can't have it. But as I'm reading it, I'm like, if you would just said they, them, this book would be an easier read for me.
I am not saying I agree or disagree. No, you have lots of valid points. Because no, I remember I did a presentation in college. I graduated in 2017, so I did a presentation in college about pronouns, gender neutral, like the evolving use of gender neutral pronouns mm-hmm. in language, and how like they them was the default, and we've always used it. And that there were neo pronouns like evolving. And I still to this day don't remember like why. And so this definitely is like prompting me to like go and like learn and do better with neo pronouns. But I was like, I feel so bad. I'm misgendering them. Like every sentence I'm like reading it a different way.
Yeah.
Because I'm just so not used to reading them. Yeah. And I definitely was like trying to use they, them in place just mm-hmm. to train my brain mm-hmm. into like understanding like, okay, this is gender neutral. I also sometimes was like, is that a name? It's just something I'm not used to in books. So I think it's interesting to see now it's, you know, coming into novels, not just in people's like everyday language, everyday use. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. I think this is one of the first, if not only books we've read with like neo pronouns used for a main character.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
I think we've encountered it for like side characters, mm-hmm. but I think this is the first time where like consistently throughout a novel, someone's PO, like a first person, or I guess this was second person, third person?
Third person POV.
Where we've dealt with this. So it was definitely like a, I don't want to say a challenge, but like a fun way to kick off the year of like, okay, like this is like where books are going and like, we got to get on board. And I don't know, just like doing more research, like something I'm like clocking for myself. Yeah. So it's cool.
Yeah.
But definitely something I think to mention for folks out there, like the importance of pronouns and like doing your homework and, you know, just being aware it's there and being respectful. Not that you weren't. That's not to you, Rico. I promise. I'm not like, hey, grandpa. Jeez Louise.
It comes down to like the fact that these things just have to be normalized. Like to your point, this is, you know, this is the first book that we have read, at least on the podcast, that has had a main mm-hmm. character had the neo pronouns. And I guarantee you probably won't be the last. And mm-hmm. it'll just become more and more normal. I will get used to them. I'm not going to bat an eye when I see Z or any other neo pronouns that I know are out there and I'm blanking on at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the world constantly changes. Our language constantly changes. You know, mm-hmm. if kids today can learn new terms like Riz and, you know, she ate and all these other things, like you can learn neo pronouns. It's the same mental gymnastics that you have to do.
Okay, Grandpa. Kids these days,
you know?
That's when I'm like, oh, yeah, we're from different generations. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you're calling that out? What the hell?
I don't know. I mean, I'm for it. I think these neo pronouns are swell, you know, if you ask me.
They're just the bee's knees.
They're just the bee's knees. I think they're hip, you know?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Wow.
Moving on.
Wait, okay, moving on. I want to rewind a little bit because I have a very joking gripe against the author when it came to all these Laura, your question of how new gods are created and how they can create it. As I read this, I was so upset because, and I'm not saying this is I'm the first person to ever have this thought. I know I'm not, clearly. But when I was developing a D&D campaign that didn't go anywhere, one of the main things in it was that there was going to be basically an order of saints or religious figures that were created from it. Like anybody could rise to be a saint, which in my universe was kind of like the equivalent of a god. And it was annoying to read it. It was like, oh, damn it. This is the idea I had that didn't go anywhere. They stole it from me. I know it.
Oh, no.
That's all. That's my. That was my only
grade. I mean, we can still do a D&D campaign, like
one day maybe.
Tell me when.
Well, we'll talk about that after the show too. Any other gripes, questions as we, you know, forayed into this book? I think for me overall, like, yeah, I wish we could go back in. Like, I would read another novella. Like, even if these were just like a bunch of little novellas, I think that would make sense. Do we know if it's a series?
It doesn't look like it so far.
So you're just going to give us all these loose ends. Like, I would liken it to like an unraveled sweater, or like an unfinished sweater with a lot of like the threads aren't woven back in. You know,
it might be, and they just haven't announced it. I mean, it did only come out.
That's true. September of this year. That's a good point.
So it might be in development, like trying to figure out if they can make it work somehow. Mm-hmm. But as it looks like right now on Goodreads, it looks like it's a one and done.
Damn. Such a bummer. Because I would actually read more. So
I would consider it. Maybe.
Fair enough.
Okay, if that's it, let's move on to the ratings then. It is on Goodreads, currently rated at 3.79 out of a little over 200 ratings. What would we each rate it, Bella?
Probably like a solid 3, just because I do think it was an interesting story. It had me thinking, but it lost a star, like, similar to Rico, like 5 stars for me is like blew me out of the water. I might have questions, but like it was a great book for me. Like, I had fun. I want to go back. It brought something really new to the table. So it's definitely not a 5. A 4 would be like, okay, it's like nothing crazy, but it was really good. I enjoyed it and had fun and could still have, I think I always have questions with books regardless of who writes them. But this one's like a solid 3 of like, I don't know that I'd read it again. I didn't totally hate reading it. Like, I was waiting for a payoff that I felt like didn't happen, but I was mostly interested in the beginning and then like after the 50% mark when we kind of came back to the mystery. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Jason?
I think I'm going to give it a 4. Okay. Yeah, by no means is it a perfect book. There are one or two things that could have easily been changed that would have made it a 5-star book for me. But I did really enjoy it. It went really quickly for me. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. I would definitely read more in this universe without hesitation, whether it's a novella, a short story, a full-length novel. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. What about you, Laura?
Okay. I'm teetering between a 2.5 and a 3.
Yeah.
Same. And I'm leaning towards 3 because I feel like it's maybe just wasn't for me. But I understand a lot of the things in it are, you know, it's a fascinating concept. And I think the characters could be more interesting, again, if we had more. I guess maybe it's just hard for me to just accept it as it is, like Jason can.
I have a hard time with that too.
I think that's great for you, Jason, and I'm a little jealous.
He has Kenergy. We've already covered this. You know, flash over substance. That's his MO.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna say it's a 3.
You'll get no argument from me.
There you go. There you have it, folks.
Okay. Before we wrap up here, what's some of the shit we're reading next?
As I mentioned, I'm in my pirate era. That's going to continue on to the next book I'm going to read, which is a prequel novel to the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. It's called Pirates of the Caribbean, The Price of Freedom by A.C. Crispin. It follows a 25-year-old Jack Sparrow as a clean-cut merchant pursuing a legitimate career as the first mate for the East India Trading Company. I don't remember how I came across this book. It was years ago. It kind of just came on my radar. And I don't usually read a whole lot of novels that are adaptations or prequels or whatever to film or TV. Star Wars is really the only exception to that rule. But it had a really good ratings. It was like 4.28. And yeah, it just sounds like it's a really good book. I'm like, maybe I'll get to it one day. Maybe I'll get to it one day. Mm-hmm. And eventually I was able to find enough kind of piratey theme books that caught my interest to put it on the schedule. So that's the next book I'm going to read.
Put it on the schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. Time. Okay. What about you, Bella?
Well, the Wicked book already has a built-in sequel that I'll have to get to. So that'll be the next one out of Oz. And then Project Hail Mary, I think, is going to take us a bit because it's a pretty long audiobook, but also like we're reading it very sporadically. So nothing beyond that at this point, just getting through those.
Okay, cool.
What about you?
I am probably going to get to The Bones Beneath My Skin by TJ Klune. I guess it's an arc. I'm not sure because Goodreads says that it was published back in 2018.
Maybe was that self-published and now it's
been... Maybe. I'm not sure. But either way, we got a copy from Tor Books. And it sounds really interesting. Just the little blurb. It says, a spine-tingling thriller about a 10-year-old girl with an impossible power, her father and an unlikely stranger who come together to confront the dangerous forces that want her at all costs. A strange story of family, love, comets, and bacon. Perfect for fans of Stranger Things. And I think somewhere in the synopsis, like the long synopsis, it mentions something about Darth Vader.
What?
Oh, no, she calls herself Darth Vader.
Respect.
So... Respect. It sounds like an interesting time. I'm excited to read it. All right. I think that's it then, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Short episode for a short book.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. If you would like to let us know your thoughts on this book or any of our other books episodes that we have. You can find us on social media at Shit We've Read. We're also on Discord. We have a couple of episodes scheduled for next month. We have Bella's next After Dark pick, Man Eater by Emily Antoinette. We're hoping, we're crossing our fingers for this one.
Yeah, Emma Skies has already said she might be sick, wink, wink, when we're recording. I'm just kidding. She may or may not make it for personal reasons, not related to avoiding the book, yeah. So she says.
Apparently.
We'll see.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But it sounds interesting. It's a cozy high-heat monster romance novella set in the 1980s featuring a lanky cinnamon roll witch, MMC, and a curvy, confident succubus, FMC. Very strange descriptions, but I'm here for it.
What didn't you get, Laura? It's pretty clear.
I've noticed this is a trend in like some romance authors is to describe the like body types or like the physical descriptions for characters. So people know like, oh, this isn't just like two hot people like generically white, right? People like banging it out. Like this is a little bit more interesting. So especially when it comes to monsters, they're like succubus and a witch. It's for Rico.
I mean, you had me in 1980s.
I know. That's, I'm really excited for this. Like the premise seems really fun. So yeah. Doesn't pay off, like the premise should be fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I have to read a hetero romance book again, because the reason my books have been so bad is I've tried to find like sapphic, like really smutty books. And I don't know why the internet won't point them to me.
I can't find any either.
I was like, is it just for me? So anyways, of course it's going to be called Man Eater to really come off of Rico, my pick for Rico for Secret Santa, which I'm sure he's talked about in therapy by now, I hope.
I left that in last year, 2024.
And last year, yeah. Good. Great. Feel free to give me the book. I want to read it. Okay.
The second book that we have planned is In Immortal Dark by... See, I wrote the pronunciation down and I still can't do it. Immortal Dark by Tigist Girma. It's described as a black vampire dark academia book. The Cruel Prince Meets Ninth House is this dangerously romantic dark academia fantasy where a lost heiress must infiltrate an arcane society and live with a vampire she suspects killed her family and kidnapped her sister. I've already been seeing a lot of good stuff about this book, so I'm excited.
Vampires in dark academia, like, I was going to be in.
Perfect.
Like, easy, like, no questions asked. Like,
yeah, I think, like, I hadn't heard of the book, and then, like, when we pick our books for the season, and then I started reading it, and I was like, sold. I don't need any more details. Yeah,
exactly.
So, I'm really excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think this next month of reading is going to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's it for now. Thank you both for joining me for this episode, and I'm excited for next month.
Me too. Can we take a moment of silence for TikTok? That may or may not be gone by the time this episode releases.
Oh my God, so dramatic. Even though I was literally just thinking, I miss TikTok. Already, it's not even gone, but I'm already like, I'm going to miss it. And I hated TikTok at first. I did not get it. And now I prefer it over everything else. It's the only app I'm consistently
on. I don't use it. I don't have one.
Oh, well, now you don't need one. So you're not missing out, apparently.
Nope. Did you have enough silence for TikTok, Jason?
I mean, you both talked entirely through it, so there was zero silence. But yeah, we're good. Let's just wrap it up. We're done.
You got
silence. We've acknowledged it. We've acknowledged it. That's enough.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Shit We've Read is hosted by Laura Benson, Jason Rico, and Bella Romero, with music by Joshua Chilton and editing by Jason Rico.
To join the discussion on this and all other books we've read, find us at Shit We've Read on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok.
For more information about us or to request transcripts, please visit shitweveread.com.
This podcast is part of the Buy Low Network. Visit buylownetwork.com for more great geeky podcasts.
Thanks so much for listening.